You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, everybody. That first hour was solid. It was solid. Now it's just going to get better. It was solid. It was okay. The first hour was fine. All right. But we're going to get a lot better. I have two of my favorite human beings that I know in the world. I have our good friend Mark Van Buren, our movie guy.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, my friend. And one of my favorite restaurateurs of all time, Juan Almanza, El Taco Rustico.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very good.
He has two wonderful locations.
Exactly.
Oracle Grant. And Grant. And then Silver Lake and Park.
Park. 1930s yep. South Park.
And South Park is where we're getting... The smoked meat world is happening?
Yeah, we're working with the smokers.
Is that on the menu?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so it's a regular thing. I can go in there right now and get smoked brisket or pulled pork or
Stuff. Smoked brisket, pulled pork, pork ribs, and the beef ribs, and chicken, whole chicken.
Wow, I love it.
And we have to do potato salad, mashed potato. We have like three different more sides.
Okay.
Not doing any smoked turkey for Thanksgiving?
I'm thinking, but...
You know what? You could really... I bet you could really do a lot of them there.
I have a room for cook like 200 turkeys a day.
You know what would be interesting? No, but you know what would be interesting, Juan? Because I did this at a casino one time, and we did, you know, the whole dinner. But if you just did smoked turkeys, we did the whole dinner, and we had to close it off at like 500 because it was like we couldn't handle the demand. Because people would gravitate to a smoked turkey like that because they can't do it at home, most of them. Okay. And that would be fantastic. It might be something to think
that's
about.
That's one of the ideas when I open. Probably going to start practicing with some turkeys.
Yeah. I've had Kent at the sausage shop smoke my turkey for the last several years.
Sure.
I would never not do that again. That's juicy, just a little kiss of smoke. Great. And I don't have to...
Yeah, so I'm not. You don't have to do it.
Mess with a turkey carcass at 10 o'clock in the morning on Thanksgiving. I just throw it in the oven, heat it through. Chris is happy, and the leftovers are so much better. Also,
oh yeah.
So anyway, you made us gorditas today.
Gorditas, corn gorditas. It's like a masa tortilla packet.
Okay.
So just cook it. We cook it at the flat top, and then we, to heat, warm it up, we throw in the fryer for a couple minutes.
Oh, no. And nice. Then,
there is any stuff in it. You can do with carne asada, cabeza, birria.
So you cook the masa batter like a thick pancake in a way?
Yeah, it can be a thick tortilla.
Okay.
You have to cook it. Actually, it's almost, we have the sope. You know the sope, what it is, the sope?
Yes.
It's the same tortilla, same size.
Oh, okay.
But the sope, you make like a little plate with the masa.
Okay.
And then the gorditas a pocket. When they get fluffy.
Now, are the gorditas special for us today, or is this something you can get at Rustico
now? This is every day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's a regular dish.
And you can get any of the meat in it?
Yep.
Very cool.
And I think this weekend I'm going to make a special the lengua tacos, beef lengua, tongue.
Okay.
Whoa.
All right.
It's going to be fun.
I was thinking about when you were talking about the smoke good. Well, you brought us the costilla ribs that you're doing at Rustico Dos. Usually beef ribs are the most poorly cooked thing I've ever eaten.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay. Your beef ribs were the best I'd ever eaten. Right, Matt, would you agree that was the best beef
ribs? Pretty darned amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, just wow.
Like rendered perfectly. I don't know how to describe it. It was like perfect texture, good chew, but.
Yeah, since I was in the swap meet, that was one of the dishes most saltish, my ribs. And I keep it the same price since I started the swap meet.
Stay on the microphone a little bit more. Yeah.
And I keep the same price. Since then, it's like a Costco chicken,
right?
It's a costilla thing. So to the people we want to do the business with them, so
sure.
They can put it.
Really speaking of Costco chickens, though, boy, are they taking a rash because of the container they're putting it in now? They just put it in a bag.
Yeah, that's weird.
They switched it, and people don't like it.
They don't like it.
No. What are you going to do?
All right, I can't believe we're going to talk about Costco chickens right now.
Well, hey.
No, I'm with you. So I'm okay with the bag.
I don't see what the big deal is. It's the same chicken. What's the difference? But people get so upset when you change things.
Well, for me, the container, yes. You can see when the chicken is big.
Right.
So sometimes they go all the way to the top of the
right.
container.
You're right.
So now you can figure.
You can't tell. Yeah.
My thing is that with the container, it wasn't like waterproof or liquid proof, right? So when they move it around,
right.
and it's got a truckload of fluid in there.
Yeah.
Right? It's a little messy. So I'm okay with the bag. I'm better with it. But as we know, the people buying chickens at Costco are different. Okay, they are so possessive and competitive, and if there's chicken not ready for them to grab, they look pissed.
Yeah.
Now, if you change anything there, like in the food court, remember they used to have Polish sausages there, and it was a big deal. And then when they took them off the menu, the world's going to stop because they don't have Polish sausages anymore. You know, it's just, shall pass.
Costco life, Costco tea.
Yeah, indeed.
You know, I go to Costco, I get my basics. I mean, you're buying for your restaurant, I assume, at times, right? But I, for some reason, I came out, it was only $173 the last time I was there. I was in shock.
If you're not hitting the 200 century mark, you're doing something wrong.
I feel like I'm cheaping it up here a little.
You
bit.
You didn't buy a pallet of toilet paper, I guess.
No pallet of toilet paper. I tell you, it's something where, but those people, when the chicken's not there, they wait for it.
Yeah.
The arms are crossed.
Yeah.
They're like, where the hell's my $4 chicken, you sons of, you know what?
Apparently, they only have it for the chicken, so they have to wait there and they don't want to go shopping.
No, nothing else. Yeah, that's what they're buying there for.
One of the listeners wants to know, Matt, put up on the screen, a caller just wants to know the hours of each of the locations.
Grand and Oracle is from 7 in the morning to 9, Monday to Saturday, and Sunday. No, Monday is close.
Okay.
Tuesday to Saturday, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Okay. And Sundays, we open at 7 in the morning and close at 8 p.m.
Okay.
And Park, we open Tuesday to Sunday. And we open 11 in the morning.
Okay.
And we close at 8. And Saturday and Sunday, we close. No, Friday and Saturday, we close at 9.
Okay.
Approximately maybe next month, we're going to have a beer permit and wine.
There you go.
And we're going to be
well prepared. Played. That's just going to be at the Silver Lake one?
Yes, okay. Both.
Oh, both.
I got permit for both.
That's amazing.
It's going to be a little different time, but it's going to be already for the end of the year.
Are you going to feature certain beers, or what are you going to be doing?
I'm going to try to do some locals and Mexican beers.
Okay, good.
Beautiful. One of the things also that maybe we haven't talked about, but in the past, recently, you brought us some keto tacos today.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right? Which I can do either, but I like the keto ones, right? Where basically you take the shredded cheese on the flat top and you basically create a tortilla out of
the cheese.
Out of cheese and then put the meat in.
Oh, that's just so good.
So,
and then you can do any meat too. Pastor, carne asada, cabeza.
That al pastor is off the charts.
Yeah, the pastor.
That was really good. What's your favorite meat inside the gordita that you like?
Picadillo. But I don't do picadillo in my rest. Can be red chili.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Red chili.
They have to be a little saucy meat because in that way you moist the gordita tortilla and then.
Yeah, I think that's the.
Any meat with like a juicy meat, like cabeza, carne con chile, red chili meat.
I think the other thing, one of your favorites for me is the shrimp rojito, right? Yeah,
those rojitos get famous.
So a rojito is like a quesadilla taco, but it's shrimp and cheese inside.
And it's good because, you know, right now we have a lot of competition with birria. Everybody wants to make birria. not everybody knows wants to make rojitos, so we...
No, that's fantastic. It's my wife's favorite. She absolutely loves those.
And what I like about it, you actually still use real, like, decent shrimp in it.
Oh, yeah.
You're using good
shrimp. We peel them. We don't take it off the vein, but we try to use very good quality shrimp.
Yeah, because you can tell because some of these guys are using that. It looks like almost a notch above a salad shrimp. yeah. some of these places, mm-hmm. and you're yeah. like, please stop. Please stop, for God's sake.
In Mexico, they call it maruchanes. You know the shrimp, the maruchan shrimp?
Oh, yeah. It looks like something that, you know, looks like one of those sea monkeys that you used to get in the comic books.
Yeah, but I what I do with it? At home, I make shrimp salad with that. Those.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's good for
not bad for a white guy.
All right, so two great locations, Oracle and Grant, and of course, Park and Silver Lake. Park and Silver Lake is where he's smoking meats.
Exactly.
All right, try the costilla ribs when they're there. I usually prefer pork to beef on a rib.
Yep.
But your costilla are just the bomb. So.
And I always try to find a very good costilla, because sometimes some costillas is just a big piece of bone. And
yeah, no bueno.
You're right, because it's all bone.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever kind of beef rib they're buying. So
it's these ribs are coming from the ribeye
side. Okay.
But some other ribs, they cut it from other side of the cow, right. Where there's no
all bone,
no yep. meat.
See, this is how I get smarter hanging out with you guys, which I like. So, all right. El Taco Rustico Uno is at Oracle and Grant, and Dos is at Park and Silver Lake. Come by, say hello, tell Juan you heard it on Wake Up Tucson, and keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you very much.
And yes, thanks sir. For the goodies, as always.
Thank you.
Totally amazing.
Thank you.
So, all right, we're doing top 10 Alec Guinness movies, one of the greatest actors of all time.
But we're going to start out with Reagan, because I saw that this week.
Oh, love to hear that review.
Yep.
Awesome. Dennis Quaid. All right, ELO versus ELP. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Local news and talk. I had a break into my ELPs. 7:23 in the morning. We just found out this is Mark Van Bee's favorite ELO song.
Really?
Saw him in Houston in 1979. God, they were so good. Really loved them.
I love it. Alec Guinness. I love Alec Guinness.
You know what? When I started doing these, I couldn't believe it. I haven't done them yet. But he is, every one of these films that we're going to talk about is outstanding. I mean, every one of them. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy is the true professional actor. I mean, he really is incredible. And when we start talking about it, you'll see what I mean. But he is really, and he wasn't a flamboyant guy. He didn't really like Hollywood. He did a lot of pictures based out of England, and he did a lot of stage plays in England. So he only did 61 films, but just an amazing individual.
So 61, that's a quarter of a cane.
Correct.
I just want to make everyone know that.
A quarter of a cane. It's a good way to put it.
Thank you very much. It's like we use Snell Squatch's salary as a...
Yeah.
I read a couple of books. He did a book called My Name Escapes Me, and it was a kind of a journal that he wrote in his last couple of years of his life. And he's so intelligent and so pithy. It's kind of one of my favorite little comfort books to go sit in the backyard and... Looking at the world pass by, Alec Guinness, My Name Escapes Me. Very good little read.
Just a couple interesting things about him. He was the only person to receive a Best Acting nomination in any of the Star Wars movies. You know?
Oh, and he got a Best Actor nod in Star Wars?
Nomination. Yeah, he did.
Wow.
And, he was married for 62 years, so he's very well grounded. He wasn't the typical Hollywood guy that goes through wives like whatever. And he served in World War II. He was a volunteer reserve seaman before being promoted to sub-lieutenant, then temporary lieutenant, commanding a landing craft on the invasion of Sicily. So he's just an amazing, amazing guy. A couple of really good quotes from him. Failure has 1,000 explanations. Success doesn't need one.
Amen.
Personally, I have only one regret, that I never dared enough, if at all.
Wow.
Which is interesting. And flamboyance doesn't suit me. I enjoy being elusive.
I'm there for all that.
Yeah.
Matt says the same thing.
What was interesting about him, as far as he had just finished a movie in Hollywood, and someone presented the script to him. I think Lucas presented the script to him for Star Wars, and he wasn't really a sci-fi guy. He's a professional actor, and his sci-fi was kind of like, I don't know. And then he started reading it, and he was actually captivated by it. But he did say that we got to change a few of these lines, because he didn't like his dialogue all that well.
George isn't good on dialogue anyway.
And Lucas really appreciated it. As a matter of fact, this is how much he appreciated. He gave him a 2% at the beginning of the deal. He gave him a 2% piece of the action, right? At the end of the movie's already been shot. He calls him up and say, I'm going to give you an additional percentage point, like a 0.25%, because you helped me so much with all these young actors like Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher and that. They weren't acting very well. They were acting like young people and going out in the town and coming in hungover and all that stuff. And he said, we're cleaning this up right away. And he kept them all in line. So I thought that was just really an amazing tribute to a total professional.
He, in the book that I read, this My Name Escapes Me,
yeah,
he talks about he liked being in the films. He had no problems being with the films. When he read the script, he saw a lot of those kind of universal characters, like the samurai, the cowboy, all those things, right?
Right.
But he hated the fans sending him stuff.
Yeah, he didn't like that at all.
Right. So what happened is he talks about how fans would mail him stuff from America for him to sign. Okay. And then they would expect him on his own dime to mail it back to them signed.
Ringo stopped that a long time ago.
So what was his... So I'm looking at his IMDb right now,
yeah,
and he started 1934 was his first flick, according... Well, that's an extra. I guess 1946,
yeah.
Great Expectations.
Which would have put him at 32.
Yeah, so he started... Yeah. I guess he was doing, of course, a truckload of theater.
He was doing a bunch of theater, and I think really sound actors come out of that, and, you know, they do a lot of Shakespeare and what have you, and...
Like Nicolas Cage. You know, so
no, but anyway,
the hell, dude.
Anyway, before we get started, I would like to talk about the Reagan movie.
We got about a minute till break, so
do you? Yeah, I absolutely loved it. It's 84% by the audience on Rotten Tomatoes, to give you an idea. Okay, the reviewers, not so much, but I'm not even going to talk about those idiots.
Well, you figure the reviewers are a lot of lefties who hate Ronald Reagan.
I love Ronald Reagan, and I love the movie, and they took a very interesting tack. What they did was John Voight plays Viktor Petrovich, who is a guy in the KGB, and he is recounting he followed Ronald Reagan through his whole career because he said, this is a guy who could end up destroying the Soviet Union.
I just looked at the updated Rotten Tomatoes on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Audience score on Reagan. Audience score is 98%.
Okay.
Reviewer, 21%.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Go with the audience, folks. Go see this film. It is a good one.
All right, we'll talk about it a little bit more, and then we got to get to the Bunkers Cowboy movies.
He's gonna be in the world of hurt here.
All right, Wake Up Tucson, Friday edition. And clearing his throat is the great Mark Van Buren. And Mark, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning.
What is the number? We're doing Alec Guinness movies.
Right. Do you want to finish Reagan first?
Yeah, let's finish Reagan. So why is it a compelling flick?
It's a compelling flick because what they did with John Voight is Viktor Petrovich. He's explaining Reagan's life to this guy who's high up in the Politburo, and why this all occurred, because the guy was amazed. He goes, they didn't fire a weapon at us and they beat us and took us down. How did that happen? And he goes, because of Ronald Reagan. And he goes through his whole life. And when you think about it, when you go through somebody in a movie, if you go through someone's whole life, it can get very convoluted and really lost in the sauce. And the way that they did it, I thought was pretty neat, because he was explaining why Reagan felt the way that he did about the Soviets and what he needed to do. And that was his main focus on wanting to run. He ran against Gerald Ford and lost. And then he ran the next time and won. And, you know, he took Mr. Gorbachev, take that wall down. You know, it was really compelling. But the one thing that it did for me, though, it made me feel very sad, because where are these candidates today?
Right.
Because I look at what we're faced with today, and I look at it, and it really makes me sad, because Ronald Reagan was, you know, whether you loved him or you hated him, I think he was a decent individual who really, really, a lot of things worked during his administration.
Tell me about the Dennis Quaid portrayal.
I think Dennis Quaid did a good job. He had the voice down, and you know how Reagan used to always say, well, you know, he had that down pretty well, and I liked it. I thought it was, I really liked it a lot. And Penelope Ann Miller as Nancy Reagan was also very, very good. And they aged them. They made them appear real young, obviously, in the first part of the film. And then as they aged, they did a nice job with makeup on that.
Well, again, it was the idea that, you know, for all the things that Reagan did in relation to economy and international policy and Cold War,
yep,
and all that stuff, he was still, and of course, I assume, does the movie talk about him and Tip O'Neill?
Oh, yeah.
Making the sausage of...
As a matter of fact, I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy who was on... he played the father on another show about... Kevin and I can't think of it right now. Anyway, you would recognize him immediately, but he played Tip O'Neill and did a great job. And there was after Reagan got shot in the assassination attempt, Tip O'Neill goes to see him in the hospital, and they share a very good moment together.
Oh, it's the dad from the Wonder Years.
Yeah, the Wonder Years. I couldn't think of it. Yeah,
Dan Luria.
Yeah, he was really good, really good.
Robert Davi plays Leonid Brezhnev. Look at that.
He was really good. I mean, and and you'd see these guys in Moscow, and they're watching Reagan, you know, his speeches and things like that, and they're just shaking their heads. They go, "I can't believe this guy."
C. Thomas Howell has got a career again, playing Casper Weinberger. Holy moly!
Yeah, it was good. I liked the movie a lot, and I think if you're a person of history, you'll really, really enjoy it.
Leslie Ann Down as Margaret Thatcher.
She was great. She was really, really good. And the thing is, guess how many people were in the audience, Chris?
80.
150. I counted them. I couldn't believe it.
What a stalker.
That's the first time. Yeah, stalker. That's the first time I've been to a movie where it was almost sold out.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey,
and this was a Thursday afternoon.
Were you the youngest person in the theater?
No.
Okay, nice.
No.
All right. I love it. Now, John Voight, does he drive a LeBaron?
No, that's on Seinfeld. But it wasn't the John Voight. It wasn't the John Voight. But John Voight is really good in this.
I love it.
Yeah, it was good.
All right. Thumbs up from Mark on Reagan.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, let's get the number 10, Alec Guinness.
Our Man in Havana, 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was...
What year is that?
It stars 1960. It stars Alec Guinness, Burl Ives, and Maureen O'Hara.
Wow.
British expatriate, he plays, runs a vacuum cleaner store in Havana, Cuba, right? And he has promised his daughter, who's played by Joe Morrow, a horse and a country club membership, which leaves him desperate for money. So the British intelligence agents contact him, and they say, "Do you want to be an agent?" And they turn him into an agent in Cuba. And it is really an interesting story. I really liked it a lot.
This is some, I mean...
And written by Graham Greene.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
Ernie Kovacs,
yeah,
Noel Coward, Ralph Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hell of a cast.
It is. It absolutely is.
Our Man in Havana. Where can we watch this?
You can watch it on Tubi.
All right.
Yeah.
Love Tubi.
Yeah. Right. I do too. You know, I'm starting to watch a lot more movies on Tubi now.
Okay.
You know, it's great.
Our Man in Havana. And it's funny, it's these free TV things like this.
Yeah.
Have the better selection of like these classic films.
They really do. And I would encourage people, and I know this probably isn't for your ex-partner, Joe Higgins, but a lot of black and white films here. And these films are just so superior in writing, in acting, in just general stories. They're so good. I'm just so tired. And I know you guys are all into the Marvel thing and what have you, but you know, it's the same thing over and over again. And when you take a look at these stories, they're so unique and interesting, and they're captivating, and you're watching them and you're going, wow, that is just really sensational.
I was in the mood to watch the movie, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Beckett.
Okay.
Love Beckett.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And Richard Burton and Peter O'Toole.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find that on anything but Freevee. I had to watch it on the Freevee channel.
I don't think I've ever checked out Freevee.
Yeah.
I just found out I have ESPN Plus.
Well, look at you. So you watch the NAU game tomorrow.
So I can watch NAU game.
I love it. All right, what's your next one?
Next one is called The Lavender Hill Mob.
Oh, yeah, this is a fun one.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes by the reviewers. So he plays this meek clerk, and he has a buddy in this, played by Stanley Holloway, and the crooks, they pull off a bank job where... They steal all this gold and then they melt it down into little Eiffel Tower deals, and then they smuggle these Eiffel Tower trinkets to France to sell them. And it is just, it's a really interesting story, and I love it. It's just it ranks, listen to this, 58th on the best Oscar winning screenplays of all time. 24th on the best British comedy movies of all time, right? It's pretty amazing. I mean, it really is a good flick. It was done in 1951, and it was directed by Charles Crichton.
Well, here's the thing. He wins Best Actor. This is his win.
Yeah.
Is this movie.
Yeah.
Sharp script. It's just the classic English cast around Alec Guinness, and just fun movie.
Oh, it is. It's just... I'm just in love with all of these films. I mean, he's just so good in them. And like I said, they're well-written and well-acted, just really good flicks.
Let's do one more before we go to break, and then we'll get Bunkers on the line. So we got to get the Bunker after break. So what do you got for me?
Great Expectations, one of my all-time favorite books, period. A Dickens adaptation, and it was 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was done in 1946, of course, directed by David Lean. Number 30 on Best British Romance Movies, number 30 on Best Oscar-nominated Movies of the 1940s. It's the story of Pip, the orphan who discovers his lawyer, Mr. Jaggers, that a mysterious benefactor who he has no knowledge of has contributed to him becoming a gentleman. And it goes through the whole tale, and it is marvelous. Miss Havisham is played by Martita Hunt, and she is phenomenal in this. I mean, just really, really good. And Alec Guinness plays his schoolmate, Herbert Pocket. So it isn't a giant role, but he's very good in it. But just the whole story is absolutely sensational. I think it's my favorite Dickens novel.
Well, and at the same time, this has to be the first time he started working with David Lean, because yep. They made some biggins later.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
All right, Matthew, spin us away to break. Bunker, hold on. He's got five Alec Guinness cowboy movies for us. No, I'm just kidding.
Amazing.
Let's see. Coming up at 8:30, we have Jason Bedrick on from Heritage Foundation. He's been doing the math on ESAs and how they save Arizona taxpayer money, taxpayers' money. How's that for shocking?
So, ooh.
Mark Van Buren, it's ELP versus ELO from the beginning. All right, 7:48 in the morning. We're doing ELP versus ELO. We're hanging out with MVB and MDN and me, D-Train.
Wow, that's a lot of initials.
Look, my wife made me a little bracelet with it on it so I can remember my name.
See, when you get a little older, you'll forget those things.
She made me this cute little bracelet that has D-Train on little cube. So I go, yeah, it's me. So,
there you go.
Thank you, babe. I appreciate it. Let's go to Bunker. Beyond Giorno.
I say, this is such a wonderful and delightful choice for people to do. You chaps are doing wonderful. Anyhow,
yep.
Hey, Mark,
yep.
My hat's off to you. You totally stumped me, but if I'm going to be stumped, I couldn't think of a more delightful person to be stumped by. The man is a glorious, wonderful actor.
He sure is.
I've been in love with him for 70 years, and so I'm going to jump in here.
Yep.
And my first choice actually is a double.
Go.
It's Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy and Smiley's People, two of the greatest espionage miniseries, two of the greatest miniseries, period. Just wonderful, wonderful films. John Le Carre novels. Le Carre fell in love with Guinness. In fact, he was so much enamored by Guinness that when he wrote after the first book, The Tinker Tailor Spy, Soldier Spy, he revamped Smiley to have more of his characteristics, so
right.
that he had a tremendous effect on the people around him. And I'll just hit a few highlights on those two, because I got two more I want to do.
Now, real quick, John Le Carre, who you're talking about, wrote the prologue to that book I was telling you about.
Yeah.
My Name Escapes Me. That's how close he was to Alec Guinness.
But isn't it amazing how Alec Guinness had that kind of effect on so many different people, like George Lucas? Mm-hmm. He just did, because he was such a positive influence. He always made the movie better.
Yep. Amen.
One of the interesting things, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, he won the BAFTA Best Actor, which is their, for TV, which is their equivalent to our Oscar.
Right.
And I want to just point out that I think probably the best actors in the world are the British, hands down. And I think it's because of the Shakespearean training, but there's a lot of fine English actors that aren't Shakespeare trained, but they have to compete with those other kind of actors, so they have to bring their game to match them. And so I think that's part of the equation there.
Yep, I think you're right.
And with Tinker Tailor, you had Ian Richardson, Ian Bannon, Patrick Stewart is Carlo. He's Carlo in both movies, who is the master spy. And both of them have a similar storyline. He's forced out of retirement, has to come back and make things right. In their first one, undercover a mole in MI-16. And the stories are basically on the real English spy scandals. In the cast for the second of the Smiley's people, you've got Kurt Jurgens. That was also his last movie, film. He never lived to even see it.
Wow.
Michael Gould. You know, Patrick Stewart again, Alan Rickman. Now, how do you think with Alan Rickman has got to be good?
So, absolutely.
And I'll do to my honorable mention so I can get out of your guys' hair. But my first one is The Captain's Paradise. And I don't know if you guys have seen that. If not, you've got to.
I have not. I will definitely check that out.
It's Guinness is a ferry boat captain. Between Gibraltar, yeah, okay, I'm showing my ignorance.
No, you're fine.
Gibraltar,
that's real.
And Morocco, and he has a wife in either port.
Yikes!
And one of the wives,
there you go,
Yvonne De Carlo.
Yikes!
But it shows, yeah, as you mentioned, he is a master of British comedy,
yep.
Comedy especially. And then my last one. And this is, again, one of my all-time favorite. I think like every movie is my all-time favorite, but it's Tunes of Glory. If you love bagpipes, when I was in the Navy, a buddy of mine had had the LP for this, and we used to play that over and over and drive everybody nuts because we'd crank it up.
Yep.
And of course, you had Guinness in it, John Mills, Susanna York, which was her first picture. Just a wonderful cast. It's about a Scottish Highland Regiment. Guinness is the Lieutenant Colonel that is being replaced by John Mills. Guinness is lovable. Mills is a martinet. And it's been remarked that this was a film that you could have switched the roles, and it would have still been just amazing.
So it's interesting you bring this one up, Bunker, because sometimes they had the... The 31 day, the Summer of the Stars in August on Turner Classic Movies, and they always play like one actor's films throughout the day. And I sometimes if I can't catch it, I'll DVR it. And this one I've DVR'd from the last month, but I haven't watched it. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. I didn't know this one existed. So this one's sitting in the hopper right now in my DVR. So I know what I'm going to be watching this weekend is the old Tunes of Glory.
Number one, make it number one.
All right, my friend.
You won't want to watch anything else. And thank you so much for bringing Alex back into my life.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
All right, that's The Great Bunker. What's your next movie?
Dr. Zhivago. It was done in 1965, and like you mentioned earlier, he did a few movies with David Lean, and David Lean directed this one. He plays the brother of Omar Sharif in this, who is a Bolshevik, and it's just an interesting tale. Dr. Zhivago is, of course, the tale of a doctor and poet who basically has two loves in two different cities, and during the Russian tumultuous political upheaval over there. So it was just a really interesting story. The cinematography in this movie is just sensational, and stars Julie Christie and Omar Sharif as well. So.
All right, Dr. Zhivago, it's got it all. Right?
It does.
We got great cast.
Music.
Right? The music's sweeping.
Mm-hmm.
Cinematography, beautiful. Omar Sharif, Julie Christie, Rod Steiger, right? Geraldine Chaplin, Alec Guinness, Ralph Richardson. I just kind of keep going. It's Klaus Kinski, right? I can't watch this film for more than 11 minutes. And I go, switch.
Really?
Bores me.
I love the film.
I can watch Lawrence of Arabia all day long. This one, click.
See,
bye.
I just think his transformations, like when Alec Guinness plays his brother, the Bolshevik, and you really buy into the fact that he's a Russian.
Oh, I mean, there.
Yeah. I mean, he's really, really good at
There's
it.
Something about this flick that I don't care if Dr. Zhivago blows up or not. Couldn't care.
Went
from the walk into a cannonball or something. Later, Omar.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Peace out. What's your next one?
Next one up is The Lady Killers. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It was done in 1955.
This is a good one.
And it stars Alec Guinness, Katie Johnson, and Cecil Parker. And is 31st on the British all-time comedy movies. It's a funny romp through. Let me start. Mrs. Wilfor, who's played by Katie Johnson, likes to report suspicious behavior to the police, right?
She's like Mrs. Kravitz.
Right, exactly. And the old Bewitched show. So she's
First, Darren.
She's unaware of her reputation. The dapper thief, Professor Marcus, played by Alec Guinness, rents a room to this elderly widow's home for himself and his band of cohorts. And they basically tell her they're a string quartet, so they're always practicing. But they're basically planning their capers in there. And they think she's found out about them. And so what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to eliminate her. and it's a very funny movie. And again, it's unusual. It's very well written. And it keeps you kind of guessing all the way through.
So again, this is like a spiritual successor to Lavender Hill Mob, right?
Sure.
Great English cast. Script, it moves fast.
It does.
Right? And again, I'm looking at this, again, cast, right?
Yeah.
Alec Guinness and Peter Sellers. Have a nice life.
I know. Well, Peter Sellers is brilliant as well. I mean, it's crazy.
Herbert Lom, of course, Inspector Dreyfus from Pink Panther.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Jack Warner, Katie Johnson, and then again, it's like a who's who of England's greatest actors.
Yep.
I like Lady Killers. Yeah. I never saw...
There was a remake, but
with Tom Hanks,
it
right?
didn't get very good ratings, and yeah, it wasn't... Sometimes you just need to leave perfection alone.
Amen. How many more movies you got to go?
I got 5.
All right, let's sneak one more in.
Oliver Twist. This is a tough one to sneak in, but David Lean, 1948, 100%. Alec Guinness plays Fagin and is just sensational. I think most people know the movie, what the movie is about, but it's England and about these band of young orphans out there, and Fagin takes them in, and he's sensational. And again, he transforms himself into this character that you totally buy into him. It's just amazing how he can play such diverse characters, and he's just so good in it.
No, he. We'll get to ones when we get to Prince Faisal, right? That's one of my favorite transformations.
It's amazing, you know. And probably if he did it today, he would be criticized because he goes, "Well, he really isn't, he really isn't an Arab." And it's like, really?
Robert De Niro do his Robert Downey Jr. do his Tropic Thunder character now? Where he's the method actor.
I'm sure
playing a black gentleman.
I'm sure he would get criticized. I'm sure he would.
Would that movie get made with that character?
Probably not.
Yep. All right, we got four more Alec Guinness movies, and then we got Jason from Heritage Foundation coming up at the bottom of next hour. Cool. And then Ed Ackerley would jump in Tucson. Wake up.